This is AgriPulse Daybreak for Wednesday, February 11th, brought to you by Watkinson Miller and Dairy Management Incorporated. Good morning, I'm Jeff Nelly. Here's today's headlines. FCIC USB boards see changes, Brazilian port operator upgrades, and Miller's weigh in on FDA petition. At least two members of the Federal Crop Insurance Corporation Board of Directors, who were appointed by former Ag Secretary Tom Vilsack to serve four-year terms, were removed last week via letter from Undersecretary for Farm Production and Conservation Richard Fordyce. Those removed include former Risk Management Agency Administrator Brandon Willis, who was appointed in 2024, and Michigan farmer Chris Barterhagen, who was appointed in 2023. A USDA spokesperson did not respond to AgriPulse requests for comment or confirm if the board members were also removed. Board members serve at the pleasure of the Secretary of Agriculture. That announcement comes after USDA separately failed to reappoint four women United Soybean Board directors and chose not to appoint a woman who had been a new director. The secretary took the state's second choice and, in essence, gutted USB of the diversity of women farmers. "We are out here on the farms. We matter," wrote USB past chair Vanessa Coomer on LinkedIn. "Why is Brooke Rollins stripping us of our voices and our roles in leadership?" Susan Watkins, Carla Schultz, Sarah Stettler, and Dawn Schreier were recommended by their respective states to be USB directors, but were not selected by USDA to continue in their roles. In December, Watkins was elected as treasurer, and Schultz was elected to the executive committee for the 2026 term. Asked for a comment on the post, a USDA spokesperson told AgriPulse, quote, "The process for each commodity board is slightly different depending on the statutory requirements. But in the case of the USB, the secretary selects board members from a slate of candidates put forward by state commodity marketing associations." DP World, which operates a terminal at Sao Paulo Santos Port, is upgrading its infrastructure with an eye on the continued growth of Brazil's agriculture industry. The company is partnering with rail operator Rumo to build a $500 million grain terminal. The project is still awaiting the necessary approvals. Once completed, the terminal will allow for another 8.5 to 9 million tons of grain exports annually and 3 million tons of fertilizer imports, according to Gabriel Stetton, company spokesperson speaking to AgriPulse during a tour of the port on Tuesday. The expansion comes on the heels of China's COFCO opening its largest agriculture port terminal outside of China at the port. Once fully operational, it will be able to handle 14.5 million tons of grain, sugar, and soybean meal. DP World is also upgrading its terminal to handle more pulp and container exports. You can read the first part of Oliver Ward's series on the future of Brazilian agriculture exports in AgriPulse newsletter being issued this morning. The North American Millers Association has added its voice to those opposing a petition targeting processed refined carbohydrates that include refined flour. Former Food and Drug Administrator Commissioner David Kessler submitted the petition in August seeking to have FDA revoke the generally recognized as safe designation for refined carbs. His list includes corn syrup, corn solids, glucose syrups, dextrose, invert sugar, xylose, maltose, and high fructose corn syrups when used in industrial processing. Nor can flour and starch be considered grass when it is used in extrusion processing, the petition says. In a news release, NAMA says that revoking the GRAS status of flour and other common food ingredients would result in the arbitrary and unnecessary removal from the marketplace of safe, nutritious, and delicious grain foods that Americans have relied on for generations. The scientific consensus does not support this approach. Categorizing grain foods as ultra-processed and restricting them from diets could have a negative impact on public health by making it harder for people to get nutrients they already are already under consuming, the group said. FDA said in a February 9th letter to Kessler that the petition has been under contentious review since its submission and plans, quote, to have a more fulsome response soon. We'll have more AgriPulse Daybreak after this.
Dairy Management Incorporated serves America's 34,000 plus dairy farmers and dairy importers by managing research and marketing programs aimed at promoting dairy consumption and protecting the good image of dairy farmers, dairy products, and the dairy industry. Funded entirely by dairy farmers, DMI has distinguished itself as a strategic consultant and valuable resource to businesses and organizations in the food and beverage sector that seek to increase sales and raise their image through the innovative use of dairy and dairy ingredients.
Welcome back to AgriPulse Daybreak. The Food and Drug Administration is reassessing the safety of butylated hydroxytoluene, a preservative used in many food products to keep fats and oils from spoiling. BHA was listed by the agency as generally recognized as safe in 1958. It was approved as a food additive in 1961, that according to an FDA press release. In that release, FDA Commissioner Marty McCary said the scientific community has raised significant concerns about some chemicals currently in the food supply. FDA published a request for information seeking comments on current uses and safety data for the substance. McCary said in the release that once the BHA assessment is complete, we expect to conduct a similar assessment for butylated hydroxytoluene, a synthetic preservative known as BHT, and also azodicarbonamidide, a chemical used in yoga mats and also used as a dough conditioner. Environmental groups are threatening to sue the Environmental Protection Agency over its decision to leave 7 segments of 5 rivers off a list of impaired waters. The July decision reversed an earlier determination by EPA that the waterways should be included due to high nitrate levels. Food and Water Watch and Iowa Environmental Council said the agency provided no scientific justification for the decision. The waters at issue include segments of the Cedar, Des Moines, Iowa, Raccoon, and South Skunk Rivers that supply drinking water to hundreds of thousands of people, the group said. Agriculture Secretary Brooke Rollins and Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth will sign a memorandum of understanding this morning on advancing USDA's National Farm Security Action Plan, the department said in a media advisory. In the afternoon, Rollins will participate in a roundtable focused on ending lawfare against U.S. farmers. Attending will be Housing and Urban Development Secretary Scott Turner, EPA Deputy Administrator David Fotui, Interior Department Associate Deputy Secretary Karen Bud Phelan, and Representative James Comer of Kentucky. Here's today's final word. I'm probably going to have these guys and gals mad at me, but I don't think it helps at all because, frankly, I don't see that they're keeping up. Maybe they are, but I don't see that they're keeping up with the things that I know are going on in Washington. And to me, it's a little bit of look at us. We're still relevant. At the word of Texas A&M economist Joe Outlaw, reacting to a letter sent by former agriculture leaders and executives warning earlier this week of the widespread collapse of American agriculture in our rural communities absent swift action by Congress. Well, that's Daybreak for this Wednesday, February 11th, brought to you by Watkinson Miller and Dairy Management Incorporated. For the latest news out of Washington, D.C., visit AgriPulse.com. For AgriPulse Daybreak, I'm Jack Dowling.